And our gospel reading, in which the sermon is taken from, is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. It's on the bottom of page 79 and starts on page 8 again in the New Testament. Luke wrote that there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from here from there to us." The rich man said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." And the rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." The word of the Lord. This might be one of the few parables of Jesus that I don't remember spending very much time on or even hearing. If you gave me a quiz, the only Lazarus until this week I knew was in the Bible was the one that Jesus raised in the Gospel of John. But then I'm telling on myself that I don't always remember everything I read. One of the things that I have to remember when we read a parable is that it is a narrative that is written to compare life, common life, with a moral. And our task this morning is to discover what moral Jesus was illuminating with this parable. It would be easy to get lost in a discussion of the first century belief in the afterlife. I know I did. So I went into the weeds so you don't have to. Does that make you feel better? Jesus tells us that the rich man is in Hades, tormented by fire. And the poor man is far away in paradise at Abraham's side. The two were separated by a chasm that neither could cross. But they could see each other and hear each other. Does that sound like our heaven and hell? Only Jesus knows what he was trying to convey with that picture, and he doesn't say much. In fact, there's only one time in Luke that he mentions hell again. Now, he does mention heaven a few more times. But I don't think the point of the story is heaven or hell. In fact, in Jesus' day, Jewish teachings on the subject of the afterlife were scarce. The leaders in the temple didn't even believe in an afterlife because it was not in their five books that we call the first five books of the Bible, which they call the Torah. So everything that was beginning to percolate in the Jewish faith, and there was an outgrowth of other Jewish beliefs. Basically, if you believe that God is just and all-powerful, which we believe and the Jewish people believe, that leads you logically to believe in another life. Because evil is very prevalent in this world. And if that's true, then there must be a way for God to make it right. So basically, the Jewish people said, we'll just leave that to God. We'll worry about our life here on earth. And to quote Forrest Gump, y'all know Forrest Gump, right? That's about all I got to say about that. Jesus told this parable after being ridiculed by the Pharisees that heard him preach, which we talked about last week. You all cannot serve God and wealth. And this story comes immediately after that. In this story, the rich man is extremely rich. He wears purple clothes. That means he's royal, of royal blood. And he feasted every day. Didn't say he ate every day. We all eat every day. He feasted every day. The rich man ignored the poor man laying in the front of his house, out in front. And by ignoring the poor man, he broke the word of Moses. Moses had said, "You shall not withhold the wages of the poor and needy laborers." And he said, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheath in the field, it shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow." By ignoring Lazarus, the rich man ignored God's commandments that are throughout the Hebrew Bible to help the poor. Even in death, the rich man thought that Lazarus should serve him. He said, "Have him come down here and just touch my tongue with his finger after it's been in the water." He didn't ask Abraham to do that. He wanted Lazarus to do that. He was incapable, the rich man was, of believing that Lazarus had any worth at all. Even after he saw how much Lazarus was loved by Abraham. Jesus told us that Lazarus had received evil things during his lifetime. And quote, "Now he is comforted here with Abraham." Actually, he says he lays in his bosom. He's in paradise. Was Lazarus in paradise because of those evil things that had befell him? Or was Lazarus like Abraham when God says he believed the Lord and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness, which is the story of Abraham in Genesis? So it would be easy to read into this parable that the rich are bad because they are rich, and the poor are right with God because they are poor. And if we read it that way, we miss Jesus' bigger point. I believe it's this: One man believed, and the other one did not. The one that believed was comforted, and the one that did not believe was tormented. And then Jesus continues to say, the rich man requested that Abraham send Lazarus back to the living to warn his five brothers of the fate that awaits them. The rich man knew his brothers were just like him, had been taught Moses and the prophets just like he had. And they knew what was right, and they knew what was expected of them, and they did not do it. They too had ignored God's wishes. But the rich man makes what I thought was a pretty good argument. The rich man argues that hearing the warning directly from somebody risen from the dead would make his brothers repent, turn back to God, and do what they were supposed to do. Abraham told the rich man, no, that doesn't work. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets now, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. In that I hear Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, knowing his fate at the hands of the Romans on the cross, telling us that our faith must be because we believe, not because Jesus was raised from the dead. And I know that there are people who believe because Jesus was raised from the dead. And hallelujah for that. But the history of mankind points the other way, that it doesn't matter. It's not enough. Eyewitnesses are not enough. The gospel stories are not enough. 5.5 billion people on this earth do not believe that Jesus lived or died, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. They don't believe, even though we know Jesus rose from the dead. We believe the eyewitnesses. They do not. Sometimes it takes more than that. A great Presbyterian pastor, John Piper, says it this way. I believe that God's saving grace opens our blind eyes and grants us to see the compelling truth and beauty and worth of Jesus in such a way that we find him irresistible. It is God's grace that makes it possible for us to believe. That's what being reformed is all about. Our mission here and in the Church Universal is to become Christ's body that shows God's grace in this world, in our time. There's many ways to do that. We just need to find our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn, it's number 527, Nearer to the Heart of God.